Blog Talk Radio.
Took a toll because going into the Pittsburgh series,
I felt that the Ranger team was, you know, it depends on what kind of an effort you were going to get. And they opened up well against the Penguins. They won that game in overtime. Let's remember that. And then they fell off the face of the earth. They looked horrible. The Penguins seemed to be able to expose them defensively, and they couldn't quickly transition the puck, which was their forte down the stretch. Ultimately, in the end, though, it took an aha moment and a come together moment, and unfortunately, it had to come around the passing of Marty St. Louis' mom, which I guess his resolve to, you know, choose to play game five and rally his team around him, I think that motivated them, that galvanized the Rangers in winning a pivotal game five to stay alive. I think it was carryover in game six when Marty St. Louis scored the opening goal against the Penguins on Mother's Day, nonetheless, and the Rangers were able to get that one out. But after that, it really became the Rangers' gut check time in game seven. Any carryover from the loss of Marty's mom was done after game six, and they rallied around each other, gut check, and found a way to win that series and win against Montreal. And when Kreider was tripped, I stress, when Kreider was tripped into Carey Price, who was already playing on a wobbly leg all the way back, if everyone recalls, when he came back from the Olympics, he was not dressing for the Canadiens. He was not playing for a week or two. So he was already on a wobbly leg. So when he took him out, the Rangers found a way to beat a good Montreal team who surprised the Bruins. And the Rangers wound up going to the Stanley Cup final. And that's where the wheels fell off the bus a bit, and the bigger and deeper LA Kings, who were extremely deep down the middle, were able to find ways to win because they knew how to win in that situation, having won the Cup in 2012. And the Rangers literally were three overtime games short of a Stanley Cup win, and all three of those overtime games took place in LA. So it was a five-game series, but it felt so much closer than that. Let's turn the page, though. It is a new season for the New York Rangers, and gone is the declining production of Brad Richards. We have documented heavily on FullTiltRangers.com the demise of Brad Richards since his days in Dallas. His production, had fallen from being practically a point-a-game player for the Dallas Stars to ultimately when he left the Rangers, I think he was at like 0.62 or something like that. But obviously, you can find that on FullTiltRangers.com, those specific stats. So Brad Richards, by virtue of a buyout, his contract didn't make sense. Mind you, if his contract was $2 million, what he's making today with the Chicago Blackhawks, I would be all for Brad Richards being on this team. Veteran leadership, third liner, possibly a fourth liner on this particular Ranger squad. I think he would have been an adequate job, probably would have, we would feel more comfortable going into this season if that was the case, that he was, still in the lineup. But that's not where we're at anymore. So let's take a look at the 2014-2015 edition of the New York Rangers. As we know, Derek Stepan is on the team. However, Derek Stepan is injured. He's been placed on long-term IR. So let's take a quick look at the Rangers lineup as I pull up what we have here. We have Rick Nash, Marty St. Louis, Derek Brassard, Matt Zuccarello, Carl Hagelin, Dominic Moore. These are the names we all know. Interestingly enough, when we start looking at the team, new additions, Tanner Glass, Stepniak, make a lot of sense to me. I believe that kind of glass for everyone's lament, and most of the people who lamented are your stats geeks, which I get it. They look at some numbers and fail to realize the role that a player like Tanner Glass will play on a fourth line. He has the ability to skate. He also has the ability to fight. It's not important, say, in the playoffs, okay? But it sure is important during the dog days of December, January, and February when you have to face teams like the Bruins and Flyers and Islanders and who's got a chip on their shoulder and they're taking headshots at Rick Nash like they did last season and the year before. You need somebody there to police the other players or at least to give them a sense of there will be retribution for your action. So I feel Tanner Glass, to me, is as decent of a player as either Dan Carcero or, for that matter, Derek Dorsett, who was sent to Vancouver. Lee Stepniak replaces Benoit Pouliot for last season, and for all $20 million for Benoit Pouliot is mind-numbing. So, you know, I don't know who made that decision in Edmonton, but all the power to you guys for to spend $4 million a year on what is more than likely than not going to be maybe a 15-goal scorer for the rest of his career. I think that's what Benoit Pouliot is. Yes, he's got some size. Yes, he can skate. But he also has a penchant for taking stupid penalties, as we all saw in the playoffs, much to our dismay at times. Lee Stepniak is a veteran, 31 years of age. He is a career 15-goal scorer as well, and he makes $900,000. So third line, fourth line, all more power to you. It's perfect. Another new addition who I think will help the Rangers. I really wasn't for it, but Ryan Malone does provide a lot of size up front. And on nights against those opponents like the Flyers and the Bruins, the bigger teams, his presence in front of the net, especially on the power play, especially if the power play is not going on certain nights, it'll definitely come into play. And I think he will do a decent job. And he probably will rotate in and out of the lineup too as well. I don't think he's a definite, all season long going to be there. I could be wrong. He might be able to produce on the fourth line or possibly even on some nights the third line, but we'll have to see. To me, though, the new-look Rangers, we know JT Miller, part of the youth movement from last year, is going to be playing a more prominent role, now by default with Eric Stepan's injury and Brassard moving up to first-line center. But I can't begin to tell you just how happy I am that Kevin Hayes and Anthony Duclair have made this team. Yes, 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 yes. That's all I have to say. To have that kind of youth on this team, in light of the players that we lost, and the two most significant players up front were Brad Nagy and slow Brad Richards. And although I love Brian Boyle, especially for what he could do on the wing or at center, kill penalties, block shots, big fan of Brian Boyle, but to have these guys come in, I mean, Anthony Duclair is, without a doubt, probably best Rangers prospect I've seen since Henrik Lundqvist. I know Chris Kreider came in here, and he was highly touted from Boston College, and he obviously came in with a bang when he was playing in the playoffs and scored a couple of goals, but he had a real drop off after the fact. Anthony Duclair seems to have the three S's that make me jump out of my seat. And that is skill, speed, and size. He's not overly big, about 6 feet tall, but he seems to know how to use that size. And honestly, we could be looking at a superstar in the making, a potential 30, 40, 50-goal scorer within the next 3 to 5 years. That's how good this kid can be. And I think playing, if where they're going to slot him is going to be interesting. I don't think anything is solidified set in stone, but I really did like what I saw when he was paired with Broussard and Nash. He looked really good on the left side. He didn't look out of place, and he looked like he brought out a different player in Rick Nash as well. It's a lot to ask for him to be playing first-line minutes at this stage of the game, but you know what? It's definitely worth something to keep your eye on. And, you know, as AV said, he's got to be able to play top nine. If for any reason he seems to slack off in the first month of the season while Derek Stepan's on long-term IR and he struggles a bit, then obviously the Rangers will – he'll probably be the first person the Rangers will send down to make room for Derek Stepan's return. I don't think there will be any doubt in my mind. If he's not playing an average of about 9 minutes a night and he's not contributing offensively, then – he's a minus player for that matter. He's struggling defensively. He will be the first person that they ship back. Interestingly enough, Kevin Hayes, who was good at times in the preseason, and you know, so he looked a little lost at times in others, but that's got to be expected with a young guy. Kevin Hayes showing that he could adapt and play a little center as well. He may actually have a pretty big impact on this Rangers team in the long run. And I'd say sooner rather than later when I think about that impact. So, as we continue here, show's got about 15 minutes left. Let's take a quick break.
You are listening to Full Tilt Rangers Radio, powered by the Full Tilt Hockey Network.
Okay, we're back. All right, let's talk about some news and notes going into the season. On Monday, the New York Rangers named the 27th captain in Rangers history. And as we all thought it would be, it is Ryan McDonagh, who is the third straight American captain on the New York Rangers, go Captain America. First it was Chris Drury, followed by Ryan Callahan, and now Ryan McDonagh. But in a stunning move, how stunning really, but still, in a stunning move, the Rangers opted to name four alternate captains. So let's delve into this a little bit. It makes sense to me. All preseason long, AV was talking about how the room had plenty of leadership. He had cited players like Richards. He had cited players like Marty St. Louis and the existing assistant captains, McDonagh, Girardi, Staal. He had named them all. And we got a taste of it in the playoffs as well, where he went with three alternates. So there was some seeds being planted right there. And looking at the setup, I will say that Hockey Davis is back, and we'll do that a little bit later as well. But I predicted on the 3rd of October, a few days before, that Rangers would go with four alternates. And the last time they had done that was in 1994, which most of you young kids get sick about hearing. But for guys like myself, I never get tired of talking about 1994. But that year they also went with four alternate captains, two at home, two on the road. The two at home were the younger guys, with Messier, which was Graves and Leach. They wore the A's at home. And on the road, Kevin Lowe and Steve Ballmer were wearing the A's. So it worked. It worked back then. And there's no reason to say it won't work. It won't work. Now, I think it will. I think it will work out beautifully. I was shocked a little bit that it was Derek Stepan that got the nod and not Rick Nash. I don't know if that says anything, means anything. At all, I really wouldn't read too much into it. My thought process is you would go with the two younger guys at home, possibly, maybe Staal and Stepan, or you could also mix it up a little bit and make it a Girardi and Stepan, or as I was alluding to before, maybe go with the two veterans on the road. Girardi's a little, it seems like the elder statesman versus Mark Stahl, and Marty St. Louis. That's another possibility. Bottom line is, I like it. I think it's a great move, and it distributes the leadership a little bit more, and it gives the young guys a little bit, a few more players to go and maybe approach and have discussions with. So let's talk about the season ahead, and what we need to do here. We need to survive the first round. Derek Stepan's injury hurts, but I don't think it's a killer. I truly don't, and I know that's crazy considering the lack of depth, et cetera, but I think there's enough with this team, especially on defense, and with the improvements. We're talking about players, young players who are now a year older, that I still see that there's potential for them to get better and better, and those players are Matt Zuccarello, Carl Hagelin, Chris Kreider. I think all these younger players are a year older and will have a bigger impact on the season ahead. But let's talk about the defense. Strawman is gone. Strawman was solid. A lot of people liked Anton Strawman. He fit very nicely with Mark Stahl. Okay? However, the Rangers bring in Dan Boyle, a proven player, a proven power play quarterback. Whatever the Rangers might have lost, and I don't think it's that much on defense with Strawman, they gain that much more with Dan Boyle. Dan Boyle is going to improve this power play tremendously. I see an uptick from last year from about 5 percentage points. I think the Rangers will be a top 10 power play team. I know, shock the world. That's what I'm thinking. I think the Rangers will be much improved with him on the blue line quarterbacking the power play. I truly feel that will be the case, and it'll get better when Derek Stepan gets into his groove as well. So my thought process is that McDonough and Girardi are one of the best shutdown pairs in the league. McDonough is on the verge of a breakout season. He had a career high last year, 43 points. I'm predicting 50-plus or better this year, maybe close to 60. We're talking Norris Trophy-type numbers, people. I think he's going to be much improved. Stahl's going to be rock solid with Dan Boyle. And the third defense pairing, which would be some people's second defense pairing of Kevin Klein and John Moore, are going to continue to build on their chemistry. And Kevin Klein is the key to unlocking John Moore's offensive potential. His ability to play stay-at-home style defense will give John Moore that much more confidence going forward. With that said, what the Rangers really need to do this year is they need to make sure they start off well at home, okay? That is going to be a huge key going into this season. So just a quick look. When the Rangers, okay, do well at home, they make the playoffs and in some instances go very far. The last time they had a poor home record was 2009-2010, where they finished 18-17-6, one game over, they missed the playoffs. The subsequent season, in 2010-2011, they were 20-17-4 at home with 93 points. They got an 8 seed and got knocked out. In 2011-2012, that's the 109-point year, they were 27-12-2 at home. They made it all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals and lost. In the lockout-shortened season, they struggled. They were two games under 500 at 10-12-2 in 2012-2013, and they got a 6th seed because of their excellent play on the road, and they got knocked out. In 2013-2014, last year, they struggled to open the season, but they still managed to wind up coming back with a 20-17-4 home record. Okay? They need to be better than that this year. They got a 5th seed. The Rangers, if they can improve on their home record, can claim a top spot, maybe even the division. The Penguins are ripe for the taking. So the Rangers need to if they want a repeat performance, they want to get to the finals, they're going to have to improve at home. That will be a key this particular season. Other things to talk about. other things to talk about, and there's always so much to talk about with the New York Rangers. Predictions. Let's talk about predictions. I feel the Rangers are going to win the Metropolitan Division. And I think, actually, teams to keep your eye out for this season is not the Pittsburgh Penguins. They'll be there. They'll be in the mix. But the Columbus Blue Jackets. I think the Columbus Blue Jackets are a team on the rise. They play as a team, which is key. They don't rely on just one player. Dubinsky not starting the season will hurt the team, but Brian Johansson now in the contract helps the team. They have the goaltending. They have some solid defense. If Nathan Horton can get healthy, they will be a team to keep your eye out on. Everyone else is much improved as well. The Islanders will be a little bit better. I think the Devils, you know, will just be annoying. I don't think they'll make the playoffs this season. The Caps, I think, will be much improved under Barry Trotz. Keep your eye out on them. But I'm looking at the Rangers winning the Atlantic Division. However, the New York Post, Larry Brooks today, put out an article how he feels the Rangers are going to win the Stanley Cup. We wrote a piece today on FullTiltRangers.com. I will say that ad nauseum. Basically, he broke it down that on offense, the Rangers are built to push both the puck and the pace, and they choose to go with speed and talent over strength and size. I agree with him. I think that's a direct display of AV's coaching philosophy in action, which is speed kills and quick transitions kill. That is the way the game is being played today. Those, to me, are the most successful teams. The LA Kings are the freaks of the NHL because they can do that, and they have the size to boot. But I don't agree that the Rangers are void of size. I think that Rick Nash, for all his knocks against them, I think he's got the size, and if he uses it, can be an extremely impactful player. Same thing with Chris Kreider. I think Chris Kreider could be a beast in this league. So there's no doubt in my mind that he will have an impact. Players like Kevin Hayes also need to start using their size and drive into the net. And on defense, I would like to see a little bit more physicality out of Kevin Kline, Mark Stahl, McDonough, Girardi this year in clearing the crease and giving Henrik Lundqvist some better looks. These guys got to stay on their feet. They don't need to be blocking as many shots for the goaltender like Lundqvist and net. But without a doubt, that is going forward offensively is their speed. On defense, I think teams would kill to have the top six that the Rangers do. As I said before, Kline and Moore would be people's second pairing. But he feels that Dan Boyle needs to be the offensive catalyst, and I couldn't agree more, especially on the power play. Goaltending, Henrik Lundqvist, much said, MoveOn.org. There's nothing to be said there. Coaching, he takes some shots at Torts, which I find hysterical. One of the shots was Vigneault treats his players like adults. That was funny. And if that wasn't good enough, I think he takes another shot later on. Regardless of the fact, it's pretty funny to me. But Vigneault's style is important. His ability, that calm influence, it works. So wrapping it up, the keys for him are going to be Brassard's play while Stepan is out. We concur. We agree. Also, the play of Dan Boyle being an offensive catalyst and the impact that Duclair and Hayes can make on this team, as well as JT Miller.
So we'll
anyway, he's got the Rangers winning the Cup. And at Full Tilt Rangers, I got them winning the Cup, too. It's going to be a long season. I'll let you guys hold me on that. This week, we open up against the St. Louis Blues. I think it'll be a win. I want everyone to enjoy this hockey season. Join me every week. And let's go Rangers, everybody. Let's go Rangers.